Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. It's coming up to Christmas and I am with Truth Bomb Tony. It's our fortnightly catch-up where Tony tells you about what he's thinking, what he's buying, what he's not buying, whether he thinks property markets are going up, down. We have a bit of a banter and we hope to give you, our community out there, some value. So good to see you, Tony. Bit of a different background there. No Christmas tree.
No, just moved into the new house. I haven't bought a Christmas tree for God knows how long. I absolutely despise consumerism and buying crap to impress people you don't like anyway. So I will avoid all these department stores from now on. I just think that Australians are just addicted to buying junk and there's just so much of it. So no, I don't like Christmas. I'll just put money in my kids' accounts. I'll buy my partner a card. So my outlay on her will be about $8. So,
My goodness. Well, listen, I'm going to give a shout out to the Infinity Group, of which I'm a part of. They're a wonderful group of people, Graham and Beck. Now, they do Christmas slightly differently because when Graham was a little boy, he did it tough. And one year he was given a present from the Kmart wishing tree. And he's never forgotten that. So now that he's in a position to give back, he encourages all of us. And on the 14th of December, which is actually the anniversary of my mum's, well, not part departure from this world, but that was her birthday. So we're all going to Kmart here, up here on the Gold Coast, and we're going to buy gifts for those that won't have anything. Now that, to me, is the spirit of Christmas, is giving to others. So big shout out to Graham Holm and Rebecca Walker for what they do to give back. So there you go. I love that part of Christmas, not rampant consumerism. I totally agree with you. And I think that Australians do go a little bit crazy just spending for the sake of spending it.
I will enjoy lots of oysters and seafood. I think that's what it's all about, going hard on the seafood, finding a nice SSB. Normally, I think it's a Stella Bella suck fizzle I'll be loading up on, and just get poleaxed.
Oh,
I think that's what
Tony,
it's all about.
No. Okay, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, he thinks the property market's going to fall. I think it's going to go up. He wants to get poleaxed, and I'll probably go to the gym.
Well, look, if you know, I feel sorry for the people across the ditch, not only losing the T20 World Cup, but having the Bank of New Zealand jack their rates up.
Oh, did
and
they?
It's like, I think that they're at 0.75 now.
So when did they jack the rates up?
Because they jacked in the rates up to curb inflation and stupid speculation on homes. So Happy Christmas to New Zealand and Australia. We've escaped it so far, but rates have to go up. And, yeah, I think this is going to be the last Christmas where Australians generally are going to feel wealthy for a while.
Okay. Well, we'll beg to differ on that one. I think it's going to keep going, but what do I know? I kind of think that with a lot of money, my view is that the funny money is getting – I guess you're losing purchasing power. So the price of things, including property, the share market, et cetera, continues to go up. So people feel wealthy. They may not be wealthy because everything else will go up alongside it.
No, I'm going to make the call. There's a three-letter acronym I use, TMF. So people can go and research that themselves.
Come on. Just tell us what it is.
The market's effed.
Oh.
And that's it. That's it. Wow. I just think that now's the time to sell. I'm actually about to lose a bet with an economist. I made a bet in 2018 that the market would fall 35% by the end of this year. I was on track to win that bet. Then we got a global pandemic. So, you know, the ultimate black swan event that's made people a lot of money. And yeah. who'd have thought that just by owning an average house, even 60 kilometres from the beach or the city in Sydney, you'd make a shared Saturday lotto win. So, you know, a lot of wealth has been generated by people simply undertaking inertia, just sitting on their backsides and suddenly they're rich, but okay. they need to take it.
So if so let's just say you're right, Tony. Let's just say that, that the share market is very frothy and it will come off a bit. What if you're wrong and people get out, that could be an issue. So isn't now the time to diversify? In other words, not have everything, like don't get out entirely. What's your advice? I mean, what would you say if you think the market's going to fall? Cash?
Well, the Dow's dropped almost a couple of thousand points recently. That's great. Let's see it get down below 30,000. It can do it gently, or you can have a couple of bad nights. Yeah. But that's only really 30 stocks in the US. So, you know, Australia's following that. Markets can always fall from any level. What I say to my clients is it doesn't matter what a major industry level it's at, the market can still fall from there. And if you're looking at smaller caps, you need to ride all these cycles because you just can't dodge it. So, yeah, a lot of stocks are frothy. A lot of the tech stocks, a lot of these hydrogen, lithium stocks are going to get absolutely smashed because they've got no fundamentals and the market caps are enormous and they're not justified.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that because we've just had the COP21 or whatever it was, a summit where it's all about renewables and all about batteries and all about that. And we've seen the nickel prices up to all-time highs as are many other commodities, except for gold. And we'll come to that in a minute. But if you look at the outcome of that summit and what they're saying about, you know, the internal combustion engines versus the electric vehicle, complete transformation, you've got to look at some of those lithium stocks, not all of them, but I would have thought you'd have to look at some of them and think, well, there's going to be a massive shortage of supply. So there's got to be, I would have thought that there is opportunities in some of that sort of battery metals area sector.
Oh, look, there has been, but a lot of the good news is already baked in. So people say, okay, the lithium demand, but these stocks have gotten well ahead of themselves. And if you look at back at what happened on about the 15th of January 2018, they all got smashed and yep. they had 2.5 years of absolute hell. And you look at the EV take up in Australia, it's absolutely piss poor. We seem to be the country that just doesn't want to get involved in electric cars. I know I certainly don't want to buy one. But again, we're going to have supply will eventually start to meet the demand. And, you know, there'll only ever be a handful of lithium producers because the rest of them are only going to produce brokerage and broken dreams. So it's a bandwagon. It's another bloody bandwagon like we've had in every bubble since the tech bubble.
Well, yes, but there will be some out there that will become producers in time, and that's the ones, I guess, that you've got to look for.
Or only a handful.
Get in and out.
Only a handful. And if you look at the uranium bubble of 2005, 2006, only a handful made it or got taken over. The other 250 companies went back to being a shell. And I was actually involved in the lithium bubble of 2008. There was actually a mini lithium bubble then, and we had two choices, Orocobre or Galaxy. I shoved my clients into Orocobre at 15 cents and it went absolutely ballistic. But I was essentially 9, 10 years early, but we still made a lot of money. I just think that these, you know, even the hydrogen bandwagon, I mean, this a lot of this stuff's 10 years away. And yeah. it's just small companies that probably got some moose pasture saying, hey, let's go green, let's get a spike in our share price so we can raise money. You know, once a bandwagon's gone past you, you've missed it. So I'd say, look, be cautious. Be cautious.
You know, you're still, But you're still playing in this market, Tony, and you're still covering some stocks that you like, and you're still, I would suggest, saying to your clients, here's some ones that I like. What sectors are those in?
Well, I actually sat on a webinar. I actually hosted a webinar for my good clients last night and ran through my top 17 stocks for next year. And I looked at it, the list, and it's dominated by gold companies.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah. So that's where I see my
favourite interview of today then, Tony, on the basis of that, because you know me, I'm the gold lady. Why, yeah. Why are they, the majority of them, gold?
Because ounces in the ground equals shareholder value. And some of the gold companies, one of them in particular, Mako Gold, is working, you know, he's working to getting a resource out early next year. And, you know, we're seeing companies get valuations of up to $100, $150 per ounce in the ground. So to me, a simple drill out story is where the real cheesecake is to making money. And I'm also involved in some gold explorers that that have a chance to make that big discovery and to become takeover targets. So, you know, the gold really, in an inflationary environment, you start to read some articles and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of newsletter writers and commentators saying gold's going to thousands of dollars an ounce and silver's going to follow it. So, I mean, we haven't had a big gold bubble really since 1978, 1980. So once all this other exotic shit goes back to where it comes from, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to, you know, gold and silver, good old wealth protection with some FOMO on top.
And I love it.
The way I see the world at the moment is that I think it's now the time for physical gold and silver. And look at depository schemes, you know, like with the Perth Mint, but just make sure your money's safe, make sure you're not paying too many fees. But to me, the next wealthy are going to be those with physical gold, physical silver, and no debt who have realized that we're in the biggest asset bubble of our generation and sold a house for 12, 14 times price to income when the long-term average is 4 to 5. And this time isn't different. Those are the four most expensive words after the three most expensive, I love you.
I love it. And I'm going to do a blatant plug here because Tony's talking about gold, silver and gold equities. Goldevents.com.au. Go and register for the Australian Gold Conference, which is going to take place in Sydney on the 10th and 11th of February. So what do you reckon? Is that good timing, Tony, February next year?
Well, as long as McGowan lets me come home. So
that's right. You're originally a Sydney boy. So look, I've got a very good feeling that come the end of January, things are going to open up. They better. I'm putting in a big word to the man over in the West who's actually originally from the East. He was from Coffs Harbour. So come on, Mr. McGowan, open the borders up and let us all get back to work.
Yeah, no, that would be fantastic to actually go to a conference. And it has been a while. I know they've recently had one here in Perth, but you know, your conference is always a blast, and I think listeners should get to that conference because you learn so much. And you know, I remember the days at Luna Park. that was legendary, and some of the opportunities that came out of that conference were amazing. I think I got to sit next to Eric Sprott at one of the dinners. So
yes, you did.
I was a bit starstruck. So.
And that was when Northern Star was, I think, 27 cents.
Great memory.
So we're looking for the next one. And look, like everything, isn't it, Tony? You've got to do your own research. You've got to look at who the management are. You've got to look at where the projects are. And you've got to make sure that corporately they're putting the money in the ground and not in their pocket.
Yeah. What was the name of that Bitcoin guy who was drinking whiskey in a coffee cup?
Oh, my goodness. That was Jeff Berwick. Who loves gold. He's done very well out of crypto as well. But yes, that was Jeff Berwick. I don't think he drinks whiskey out of a cup at 9 o'clock in the morning anymore, but he's a good mate of mine. I've been over to see him in Mexico and he is a very good human. There's a lot of good humans out there. And there's a lot of dodgy ones. So Tony, do you want to throw a few of those companies that you spoke about in your webinar and the reasoning behind why you're suggesting them at the moment?
Yeah, I mentioned Maker. That's probably one of the strongest. I mentioned Allhuman again, because the fact is that these guys worked under Bill Beaman at Northern Star, and they make it quite clear they're on the acquisition trail. They do have some projects that could get them some cash flow. I also spoke about Pack Gold, which has doubled and changed for us. That's the Alice River project in North Queensland. I think that looks like a massive gold system. And the IP survey is showing up these targets beautifully. And that's got a really tight structure. So I think that stock could run like a Kenyan. Down the food chain, I'm backing Metal Bank. I'm backing Inner Scotland to finally build a company out of this, which has been a bit of a schmozzle.
Didn't Metal Bank just buy the Kingston asset over in WA?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. Okay.
Yeah, small resource, but they're very excited about the exploration potential. They've also got a copper cobalt project called Millennium in Queensland, and Innes made her fortune for shareholders out of Citadel.
I remember.
And she's looking in that MENA region, which is Middle East, North Africa. So at 0.8%, that's a paper fest. I've also started looking at Chris Cairns's latest IPO called E79.
Now, for those of you listening, I've just done an interview with Ned Summerhayes on the Small Caps channel. So once you've finished watching Tony and I have a chat now, go and have a look, because he's just mentioned it, E79. Go and have a listen to Ned Summerhayes and what he's got to say about E79. Sorry, Tony, I just had to mention that.
Yeah, and just reiterate to your viewers not to buy the stock. Not yet anyway. Give me a few weeks to get everyone set. So
shouldn't have mentioned it then, mate.
Yeah, but I didn't know that you just interviewed them. So
go, yeah. Guys. All right, who else?
The other one I really like, which viewers should not buy, is a little stock called Alchemy. Alchemy. So this is a company that's now run by James Wilson. James and I worked together at Argonaut.
Yeah.
These guys look good. I think James is the type of operator to get this thing going. They do have some gold, about 100,000 ounces. They have some projects in New South Wales. They have some ground that surrounded the Rebecca project from Apollo.
Yep.
So, you know, I said last night on the webinar that the breakup value of Alchemy is worth more than the market cap, and the stock's trading 1.1, 1.2 cents. So it's a type of trading opportunity. You could change your mind 10 times a day, but certainly that's one of the roughies in that field. So pretty much the other one I really like is, it has been a painful stock for us, has been Godolphin.
Yeah.
I thought Janetta Owens really came across professionally. She knows what she has to do. That company is undervalued on the assets, but once you're in a bit of a downtrend, it's hard to get off that hurdy-gurdy. But the other stocks really I discussed were in the biotech area. So my risk reward is I look at stocks where you could lose 30, 40, 50% of your money, but make 5, 10, 20 times on the upside. So to me, that's the perfect risk-reward ratio.
And that's how you play it at the moment, is it? You could come down a bit, but the upside is 3 times as much.
Well, that's how I've always played it since pretty much the tech bubble, even though I just come out of the police force straight into one of the biggest bubbles of our generation. I've learned how to pick stocks. I've learned how to talk to management, read their body language, read their tone of voice, work out who's FOS. And that's what I've done. And that has taken me 23 years to master. So I just stick to the same old tune. And I say to my clients, music will always revert back to guitars, bass and drums. All this electronica shit and rap stuff will die again. So that's how I operate. And I'm not going to change. I'm not going to do anything stupid, because once you work out the formula in speculation, you need to survive for the next bubble. And I think a lot of kids are going to blow up their crypto accounts. they're going to blow up trading crap stocks. And that's the way it goes, because there's always a new generation that comes in a fad and gets absolutely obliterated.
And that's not what we want for anyone, to be honest. Now, we are talking in December. It's not that far away from that thing that you don't like. It's called Christmas. Does the market go quiet at this time? Should people be sitting and watching, or is now a good time to be doing some research and setting yourself up for 2022?
I think now's the time. That's why I tend to go early with my top stocks so my clients can do some research. I don't think there's a bad time ever to buy an undervalued stock.
Okay.
And from my 23 years of being a broker, I've actually found that the Christmas period is where you can get some insane rallies, because the traders will come in, and some of these stocks really have decent runs. So I just think you've got to keep your head, you've got to stay behind the screen unless you have a broker who's watching your stocks. But I know a lot of people are out there, refresh their phones every few minutes. So I think the average time someone checks their phone is 151 times a day. Can you imagine someone in speculative stocks? That's just insane. I think we all need to get a life, Kerry.
What do you think? I tend to agree with you. We do spend too much time on social media. And look, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say this to you. Get outside, smell the roses, walk on the beach, dive in the ocean. Don't sit in front of a computer like we are all the time, because it's really bad for your health. Sunshine, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I think Christmas is a fun time to be involved in the market. And, you know, you always got to be involved. You know, there's always the belief that a lot of the brokers and institutions really don't crank up till after the Australia Day holiday. But, you know, the big institutional investors, from my experience, aren't as nimble as mum and dad investors. So why not operate before they get back to work?
That's very good advice. Now, Tony, we're running out of time. So I want you to give me a couple of reasons right now that people, what they should be doing right now. Is it diversification? Is it get rid of everything but go into gold and silver stocks? Is it is the uranium market? Just give me a sort of a wrap up of your views at the moment.
I think right now is the time for families to sandbag their finances. I mean, get rid of crap, sell their used cars into the spike, and look at ways of strengthening their financial position and carrying out a stress test on paying an extra few percent on their mortgage. If you are going to fail that stress test, I'd be selling, because life's too short to be wearing financial handcuffs. And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, there's talk now about the great resignation, where people realize that, you know, life is to be enjoyed, not slaving. So, you know, I think generally the party's over. On Christmas, by all means, go nuts on seafood and SSB. But I think next year's going to be a complete bitch, unless you are well sorted with gold, silver, and selling overpriced assets.
And I did not call him to do that with the gold conference coming up. But Tony, I love the fact that you love gold and silver and you think that's an opportunity. That's what I think at the moment, but it has certainly been a bit lackluster in 2021. I'll call it for 2022 like you, that I think that it is going to be the year for precious metals. We will talk again just before Christmas. We'll do one more just before Christmas. I might even send some tinsel over to you so you can put some tinsel around and pretend that you're going to enjoy Christmas.
Yeah. I love you too, Kerry. See you soon.
Thanks, Tony.